But anyway, I'm going to do a routine now. The ones of you who have heard it before may enjoy hearing it again. And the ones of you who have not heard it before may enjoy hearing it again next time. I'm speaking of the phonetic punctuation. Well, I must compliment you on your endurance. However, had I known this, as I said before, we could have started with it and been home by now. But I certainly appreciate your enthusiasm, indeed. I invented phonetic punctuation many years ago. Punctuation. And it was in 1936 when I first found that people who speak together don't understand each other clearly. But when we read or write, we use punctuation marks in order to underline the meaning of our sentences. But we do not have that support when we speak. So why not integrate punctuation marks by giving them sounds into our speech? Then we can underline what we intend to convey to each other verbally. Yeah. Now, what the heck was all that now? That was right. I'll teach you how to use the system. A period sounds like this. A dash. An exclamation point is a vertical dash with a period underneath. The comma. Quotation, not two commas. Or if you happen to be left-handed. Question mark is a little difficult. And finally, the colon, the two little dots. You may put them over each other, you may put them under each other, you can put them wherever you want to put them. That's it. I'm going to read a paragraph from a book I have here. The same book I read from before. My father inherited that, I told you that, from two of his cousins. They were twins. Identical twins. But they never knew which one of them was the identical one because they looked so much alike. My father told me, he was much older than I was, of course, because my father was born in 1847. He was 60 years old when I was born, so he was almost my grandfather. He knew a lot of things that I didn't know, and I know it now. I wanted to show you a little thing. I have seven grandchildren, and the youngest one, when she was the youngest one, which she isn't anymore because there are two more, but she's now almost the oldest one because, not necessarily yet, but she's in age, you know, it always changes. And this is a thing she did in school for me. I always show that to the audience. That's good. I did a notebook, I write notes in it. Cute. From the school. Yeah. Cost me $8,000. She was the one who came home from a beach party. She was this big. And she could hardly walk. And I said, were there many children there? Oh, yes, she said, many boys and girls. I said, were there more boys or more girls? And she said, she couldn't tell that because none of them had any clothes on. I have a short story right here in the beginning of the book. Page 9. Oh. Page 6. In the open window there suddenly came light. Beautiful Eleanor sat alone, dreaming of but one thing. 2 years had passed since she met Sir Henry. She could still remember the unhappy evening when her father had thrown him out. They had been sitting in the park, and Henry had said, "Darling." "Is this the first time you have loved?" And she had answered, "Yes." "But it is so wonderful that I hope it shall not be the last." Suddenly she heard a well-known sound. It was he. In two strides he was near her, embraced, kissed, and caressed her. "Henry!" "What is love?" she asked. He answered, "Well, I couldn't live without." She asked, "I'm sorry, left-handed. Where have your thoughts been?" And he answered, "My maiden." Suddenly he had gone. Oops. All she heard was the well-known sound of his departing horse.